Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. This is episode number 281. Thank you for being with me on this next episode. So we're continuing on in our navigation of the 23rd Psalm, and we're just taking it apart bit by bit, chewing on what we can discover in the moment of the text. I don't have anything prepared aside from a couple of footnotes that my Bible shows that links to other verses. So we'll just depend on the Holy Spirit to steer the conversation. I don't picture this to be very long, though as some who know me would tend to argue that I would have the ability to be long-winded. So Psalm 23, we'll just lead into verse 2. We ended on the last episode unpacking the first verse. So verse 2 reads, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Now, another translation of still waters is alternatively, could be in Hebrew, be said as waters of rest. So just keep that in the front of your mind, and we'll get to that part. It says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Now, I have a footnote showing here for reference to lying down in green pastures. It lists Ezekiel 34:14, and then also John 10, verse 9. So let's turn to Ezekiel 34:14 and see what we can find as it references that for us. Ezekiel 34:14. And it says, "I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel." Before I looked at this passage and saw the footnote, I didn't really realize that Ezekiel 34 runs so connective to the 23rd Psalm, if that's a word I could use, runs parallel, shares a relationship with. And as I just scanned through some of this before the episode, you know, in Ezekiel 34, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and the word of the Lord has him prophesying. And he's prophesying against the shepherds of Israel, and he has a strong prophecy to them, and he's declaring essentially in a good part of this, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves! Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" And this is it's a pretty alarming thing to think. With shepherds are meant to tend the flock, to care for. And when we see this reality in Psalm 23, and David speaking of the Lord as his shepherd, and this can be realized and actualized in each of our lives, as it relates to the Lord being our shepherd. And in verse 2, when he said, "He makes me lie down in green pastures," you know, the way, depending on how you read it and the impression that you get in the moment, when I read, "He makes me lie down," there is, to me, an almost implied, like a forcing, And so sometimes in our own flesh, you know, we all have our own wills and desires, and especially in the country that I come from, in the United States of America, North America, we oftentimes don't like this idea of being made. We have a very rampant perspective of liberty and freedom and all these attributes, and we often don't lend ourselves to this idea of being made to do something. In this verse, one component that I gather from it is there is this sense of duty and obligation that we have in reference to the obedience of to the shepherd. He makes me lie down. He is directing me and he is guiding me and he is requiring of me. But so oftentimes, if we would just yield to his leadership, we would find that in the process of being made by Christ, that we would find ourselves placed in good pasture, green pasture. It's lush and abundant with nourishment and the sustenance that we need for good life. And so if we can, you know, like a dog, yield to being dominated one, not ourselves, but if we can yield to his dominance in our lives, his authority and superiority in our lives, we can find ourselves after the struggle, after the resistance and perhaps even the pain, we can find we can find ourselves in good pasture. And almost like a dream, we can wake up and see ourselves in a place that we couldn't have imagined. And it all comes at the submission to his shepherding over our lives. And I would say even a step further, if, you know, I said that in the text, in that language, he makes me, I see a dominating, a requiring of submission. But if we can have the eyes to see that, yes, while he makes us lie down, there's also, if we could see it, an invitation to follow his leading. And rather than him, though he is perfectly and absolutely right and righteous in making us do whatever he desires, I think there comes a place of intimacy and connectedness to Christ that we can find a nudging to do something before even there comes a place of making. So I think if we can have eyes to see that there's an invitation to something, though it in his great love and mercy for our lives, that even in our stubbornness and thick-headedness, if we don't yield to or become aware of his his subtle new nudgings to a direction. I want to tell everyone about a company called Mr. Pen. The company was started by Christian teachers in Louisiana. They have 100,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. They're the perfect gift for Christian girls and guys. Bible journaling kits, beautiful journaling Bibles, no-bleed Bible pens and highlighters that work on thin Bible pages. Now let me tell you why I love them. These no-bleed Bible pens and highlighters, they actually work. They offer custom products for churches, schools, and conferences. And best of all, you get your money back if you don't like any of the products. Shop the best Bible journaling supplies on the market and fantastic gifts for the ladies in your life at MrPen.com. That's MRPEN.com. And guess what? Our audience gets a special discount. Use code TheBibleStudy10 at checkout to get 10% off your entire order. He will, in his great love and mercy to us, if need be, make us. And so I think there is a multiplicity of realities that we can discover inside of this idea of making us lie down in green pastures. You know, it's fascinating too to think, why would we need to be made to lie down in green pasture? Sometimes we have lives that are so busy and we want to do and continue doing, and we want to achieve and accomplish. And so sometimes it's necessary for us to be made to simply lie down. You know, many times in the ministry of Jesus, he had people sit. And it's kind of this posture of disarming our ability to accomplish. And in a seated posture, we have to, it's a very submissive posture. It's also one that it is incompatible with this assertive, dominant stance that is even defensive. When you're seated, you're not in a very defensive posture. So I think there's even more going on in that when Christ had those around him to sit, I think there's more happening there than just even as on the surface. And so in David's assessment of the Lord making us to lie down in green pastures, it can too be because we have this driving sense of accomplishment. And there can be really many things connected to that in terms of dysfunction, you know, approval of others, a sense of identity that we get from, you know, maybe something that we're good at or that we're praised for. And we can build this identity around how we're validated. And so sometimes, even in places of green pasture where you would think, how is it that we wouldn't want to, you know, sit and rest, not just relax and take rest, but to have this posture of seatedness? How is it that we would have to be made for something like this to happen? And I think it's because many times we get caught up in this life of doing and disconnect from this life of being. So these are two just insights. But the verse goes on and says, he leads me beside still waters. I did fail to read in relation to that first part A of the sentence, John 10:9. So let me flip to John 10:9 and see the relation there. to that footnote. And Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. So I pose this question to you to think on for yourself. You know, read John 10 and, you know, meditate on it and what can be found in it. But when you see, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. What do you think, or what do you suppose it means to go in and out? Oftentimes, you kind of, even in, you know, today's day, when we have, you know, we have all these churches and we have all these gatherings and we go into a building, and oftentimes churches gather people into the church, the building, and there's this influx. And so many times it can be about gathering, not all cases, not all places, but it can be about gathering people in. And oftentimes we forget about the out dynamic. But in light of this verse, what would you propose or think that Jesus is meaning to say, and will go in and out and find pasture? I think there is a depth that can be unpacked there, and much that Jesus can be saying within the text. But I'll leave that with you to think on and to consider for yourself. And the last part of verse 2 says, he leads me beside still waters. Now, I've heard it said that I personally have never raised sheep, but I've heard it said that they're very skittish, very shy, and easily scared. And running water is not something they tend to like or drink from because it makes them nervous. So still water would be something you might find a sheep drinking from more likely. So there is a sense of they are getting nourishment from this water that is suitable for them. But as I mentioned here, in the Hebrew, it could also mean beside waters of rest. That's an interesting alternative to this idea of, rather than moving waters, waters that are still, but also, and equally perhaps, an idea of waters of rest. I think both communicate unique ideas or concepts, and though very likely related. So these are interesting concepts. I won't belabor it too much, but again, I think that we can get so caught up in movement and doing that we can neglect this place of rest, not just a place of recharging, so to speak, you know, taking rest, but even, and even perhaps more so, the reality of this place from your internal state of being, a place of rest, a posture of, I often say, the garden of your heart. You know, I can partake in something, whether it's conversation or entertainment, whatever it is, and I can find myself in a place of disruptedness. the garden of my heart can be upset. And it's almost as though the internal homeostasis of my heart is upside down, and there's this vibrational disruption. You know, a peace is disrupted. And so many things, I think, can be discovered within this, but this is just one thing that surfaces here in the moment. So I would challenge you, take a step towards a text that jumps out at you and go through it very slowly and chew on it and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal unique things to you and how and what He can teach you in that. And then share that with a friend, share that with a stranger, and see what the Lord does with it and with your yes in service to Him. So thank you so much for being with me on this next episode. Thank you, and please share with friends so we can get this message out to more people. And until next time, God bless.